a 10-year period which started in 1985 or 1995. See how they coordinate. The old Fabian Society is another group, the Royal Institute of International Affairs over in London, and Joe Kennedy was a member of that group. And, of course, his clan on down the line. Here are some of the Rhodes Scholars in our government. There's Senator Boren of Oklahoma, Bill Bradley, New Jersey, Richard Lugar, Indiana, Larry Pressler, South Dakota, Paul Sarbanes of Maryland, and Representative Thomas McMillan of Maryland, and, of course, the declared president candidate, Bill Clinton, at the time this was printed. And so a bunch of them are there. Then the Trilateral Commission, 1973. Mr. Nixon bolted this group. He was a member of the CFR, but he began to realize where it was going. And he was more American than he was traitor. So he teamed up with the Prime Minister of Japan, Mr. Tanaka. And they decided that they would break their two countries out of the control of this conspiracy. So Mr. Tanaka reduced the, he devaluated the yen by 30%. And that really hurt the European community and the United States to a certain degree. But 6 months later, Mr. Nixon did the same thing. And that was a 1-2 punch to the group over in Europe and England in that area because they really got hurt. It's like everything in the United States and Japan was 30% off. And one of the Rothschilds said, this guy Nixon's got to go after that. Well, that doomed him. And that's what Watergate was all about. They actually sent Tanaka to prison, and Mr. Nixon had to resign. Did absolutely nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong. There was a bumper sticker in Washington says, nobody died in Watergate, how about Chappaquiddick? And I'll give you a little personal experience I had when that, I knew it was an unimportant event, a break and entry, nothing to it. I finally got the right sergeant in charge of crime statistics in the D.C. police force, and we chatted for a while, and finally I slipped up on him, and I said, how many B&Es do you have in a 24-hour break and entry? He said, oh, 75 to 100. And I said, well, how many of them do you ever catch? He said, oh, about 1 out of 10. Well, how many do you convict? And he says, that's a classified answer. Probably don't convict anybody. I said, well, why are you so interested in the break and entry over at the Watergate? And he, without thinking, he said, we're not interested in that. That's all political. Because they caught the people. They didn't steal anything. Nothing was stolen. Nothing was destroyed. Nobody drowned in Watergate. What were they in there? Well, by sworn oath, they were in there into McGovern's apartment trying to find out where all the communist money was coming from that was supporting McGovern and his campaign for the presidency. And that was what they were doing. They'd been in there 3 times before. But some agents, 2 of them, Baldwin and what was the other one's name, had infiltrated the group and arranged for them to get caught. Alerted the police, and they came and got them. J. Gordon Liddy and the whole bunch. And as I said, there's never so many people ever went to jail over a break and entry where nothing was stolen and nothing was destroyed. 29 people went to jail over that. And Mr. Nixon, at that time, I was Deputy Director of Marine Corps Reserve, going to our 283 bases all over the United States, inspecting on the weekends. And of course, they'd always have a reception. And these people would come up to me, the mayors and the others of the towns, and they'd come up and say, do you think he's guilty? And I'd say, well, who are you talking about? You know, there's a lot of guilty ones in Washington. Which one are you talking about? And they'd say, well, you know, Mr. Nixon. And I said, well, guilty of what? And from the news media, he must have committed murder. And it was funny to watch their face. He didn't know what he was guilty of, but he must have done something horrible. Said, well, the cover-up. Covered up evidence. Well, the tapes were personal property. And he said later on a TV show he made a great mistake. He should have destroyed them. And he should have. And the texts that they gave were taken out of context when he told the FBI to get off the case before they blew the cover on the CIA agents that were breaking into the apartment. That's the only reason he told them to get off of it. They were going to expose Hunt and Jeb Stuart, and those agents are going to blow their cover. And so that's what it was all about. But they ruined him. And, of course, they had to get rid of Agnew first. Because Agnew's out all over the world telling them that you're not getting the straight news, that the ruse is rigged. But the news media said that Spiro Agnew wants to do away with freedom of the press. No, he just wants to tell you you don't have a free press. So, and what he did as a commissioner before he ever became mayor of Baltimore, before he ever became governor, was that he accepted a gift over the maximum limit for a corporation for his political campaigns. Did you notice how quiet the Senate was when they started talking about him? Well, there wasn't anybody in Washington that hadn't done that. But he quit anyhow. So they got rid of him and they put Nelson Rockefeller and Gerald Ford being a good Bilderberger in there. Well, I got off the track. Trilateral Commission. It was created in 1973 to stop such things as Mr. Nixon and that type thing. Trilateral means the European community in England and the Japanese, the Pacific Rim, and North America. The United States and Canada, in their eyes, have always been one nation. So that's the trilateral. More than 90% of the world's wealth is collected into the Trilateral Commission. So that group really runs the world. North America was to have 90 members, the European community was to have 90 members, the Japanese to have 75. And President Jimmy Carter and Fritz Mondale were charter members. People said, how did Fritz and Grits ever get together? Well, they met over at the Rockefellers, that's how they got together. And they needed somebody like him. By the way, in passing, did you know that Mr. Ford won the election? But all the votes in New York, in the state of New York, were rigged that so when you voted Democrat, it was recorded as Republican. I mean, the other way around. It was when you voted Republican, it was recorded Democrat, so Jimmy Carter got the vote. And that's the reason President Ford waited 5 days before he even conceded. And he was so emotionally disturbed that his wife, Pat, had to read his concession speech because they got to him and told him, if you don't shut up and go quietly, we'll do what we did to John Kennedy. And that's the same way that Lyndon Baines Johnson became a senator. So if we have time to get into that, there was another rigged election. And Nixon actually beat Kennedy. But they lost all the ballot boxes in Cook County. That's Chicago. And with the 26 electoral votes, Mr. Nixon would have been president instead of John Kennedy. And Coke Stevenson was defeated by Lyndon Johnson for his first term as the Senate by 86 votes. And the last 150 people that voted in Alice County, next door to where I was a jet instructor in Glaberg County, the last 150 people all voted in alphabetical order with a green ballpoint pen. And at least 15 of them had been dead for 20 years. The joke was that resurrection came early over in Alice County, people showing up to vote. That's the reason they called him old Landslide Lyndon. He won by 86 votes, 150 were all obviously rigged, and they lost all the ballot boxes in Harris County. That's the hometown of Coke Stevenson. That's Houston. See, it's the same old plan. If you can't win, you lose the ballot boxes. And then we got the gall to go around and see if these countries are having fair elections. Disgusting. And that's even with just 40% of the eligible voters voting. In Vietnam, 92% of all the eligible voters elected their representatives, and we questioned whether or not it was a democratic government. Sick. Well, there it is. God has everything under control. Sure glad I got that up there. Praise the Lord. Well, they meet at least once every 6 months. Did you know that 80% of the Rockefellers' wealth is outside the United States? They started exporting their wealth a long time ago because they're deliberately collapsing the economy in the United States, deliberately. See, they want to make us to comfortably merge with the Soviet Union, the distribution of misery equally. Remember what Churchill said, impossible equality, can't be. Well, and then there's the Institute of Economic Commission. Kissinger's on that one, world economy. We could go on many of those. Remember, Rothschild said, give me control of a nation's money and I care not who makes its laws. He said that in 1810, and they gained control of the British Empire back in the 1800s when Napoleon was defeated And if it's a real interesting study as to how that occurred and how they rigged it to get Napoleon defeated, but Lord Nelson got credit for it, but really it was the Rothschilds that did him in by shuffling messages between his generals, because they did it by carrier pigeon. And all the generals had Rothschild pigeons. So every time they sent a message to another general, it ended up in the Rothschild loft. And if the Rothschilds liked it, well, they'd put it on the right pigeon and let it go to wherever it was going. But if they didn't like it, they'd change the message and send it out. And that's what they did. They doctored the messages and got old Napoleon Bonaparte's all locked up. And he was defeated. And they did it deliberately because Napoleon thought he was going to run the show, and they can't have that. And through these pigeons, Nathan Rothschild, of his five sons, was over in England in the world market. And through this system of pigeons, he would know 72 hours ahead of time of any big event that happened on the European continent before anybody else ever knew it. So that's like having a copy of the Wall Street Journal of Wednesday on Monday morning. You can do pretty well in the stock market. And so that was the way he was doing. So he steps on the floor on the morning after he found out that Napoleon had been defeated, and look what he's doing. He's doing the exact opposite of what you would think he was doing. He knows that there's no stopping the British Empire now, so just before the market closes, he starts selling all of his British Treasury notes, called consols in those days. And everybody knew that he never makes a mistake, so they started selling. So guess what? When everybody's selling, nobody's buying, what happens to the price? Falls to the bottom. And just below the market ended, he bought the British Empire. Because he got the money off of the top, skimmed it off of the bottom, and owned the British Empire. British Petroleum, so high is no longer around. BP. That's the reason we went to the Persian Gulf, was to save the British petroleum interest there. Certainly wasn't for democracy. Only 3% of the people get to vote in Kuwait. It's the Sheikh's families that are the only ones who get to vote, so it wasn't a democracy. And in fact, the sheikhs couldn't have cared less. They could have lived on the Riviera for the rest of their life rather well, even if they didn't. But, and that's the reason we don't want to get involved in Yugoslavia. There isn't any oil. But that's another story. And that's the reason we're going to have peaceful relations with South Vietnam, because there's more oil off the coast of Vietnam and Indonesia than all the Middle East. Money is it. What is 1 Timothy 6:10? The love of money is the basic cause of all enemy, all evil. Well, just as a passing remark, well, let's go to the Federal Reserve, but I want to point out one thing, that the Rockefellers, 4 years ago, completed 22 large mansions in Canberra, Australia. That's the capital of Australia. Nobody's living there except the eldest nephew of David Rockefeller. He's the caretaker. So guess where might be a safe place to go when they bring great chaos upon the United States? Australia. I think New Zealand would be better because Australia. But anyway, that's the plan. Did you know that Henry Kissinger divided the world into 10 regions? That shoots down the old Roman Empire being reconstituted. What God did in the regions of the old Roman Empire, he's now going to do worldwide. God speaks twice through prophecy. The world is his and the fullness thereof. Revelation 17:12 says, and those 10 horns were 10 kings who had absolutely no power except the power that the beast and the beast system gave him. Well, just before that in Revelation 17:10, it says there are 7 kings who had great power. Well, guess who determines the policies? They're going to be meeting next week in Washington, D.C. The G7 group, the group of 7. See how clear it is? And everybody says, that's going to happen after we get out of here. Well, it's happened now. We have a one world government now. These people determine everything that's going to occur. They could care less what Congress passes up there as long as they bankrupt this nation. That's the whole purpose, is to bankrupt this nation. And the medical plan will do it. When I teach up in Canada, and that's one of the things they really worry about, is us going to the program that they and the British have. Because they say, if you go to our program, and that's the one they're recommending, then where do we go to get medical care? 300,000 Canadians came to the United States to get medical care that they can't get in Canada. Now where do you go? Well, You have to go to South Africa, but that's not a very nice place right now, and it's going to blow sky high very shortly, because Kissinger and Lord Carrington are down there right now arranging it. Well, Kissinger and Carrington arranged for the overthrow of Rhodesia. 2 months after they visited, Rhodesia became Zimbabwe. 2 months after those two characters visited Iran, the Shah of Iran was kicked out and the Ayatollah Khomeini came back. So they're the kiss of death, and they're down in South Africa right now arranging for that overthrow. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow night. So they had to gain control of the United States money system. Well, they did that in 1913. December the 23rd, Rothschild agent Paul Warburg drafted and introduced legislation. President Woodrow Wilson, part of the whole thing, called for a special session. Now, in 1913, we didn't have airplanes and all of that sort of thing. We just had carriages and trains to a certain extent, and not an interstate in the whole world of the United States. But only the trusted congressman waited behind, and when he called a special session, the only opposition to the Federal Reserve was Aldrich Lindbergh, the father of Charles Lindbergh. And you can read in the Congressional Record, he knew it was a conspiracy and he said so, and it's all in the Congressional Record. But they ran it through and created the Federal Reserve Act and changed the Constitution, although it was never ratified by the required two-thirds states. And so they established that and gained control of our money. Now, Abraham Lincoln absolutely refused to buy his money from the London Bank of Rothschild, and look what it got him, a bullet through the head. John Kennedy was going to coin money. In fact, I have some of the Kennedy money up here if you'd like to see it. He ran a test run. He actually printed and had some $2 and $5 bills in circulation, U.S. Treasury notes, which are interest-free, and was going to print the whole thing. Here are two of them. That's pretty scarce. And was after that success, he had plates made for the whole new thing and was going to close the banks one Friday and not open them for 10 days later. And when he opened, the Federal Reserve would be out of business. Well, they shot him in Dallas and had him killed. You get in the way of these people and you're dead, man. It's just that simple, and no one will ever hang except the innocent people. Well, they passed it. Well, in 1989, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and I have the document here, ruled that the Federal Reserve is a privately owned corporation owned by eight banks. And here they are, the Rothschild Bank of London and Berlin, the Rockefeller Chase Manhattan Bank of New York, the Warburgs, remember that name, Warburg Banks of Hamburg and Amsterdam, the Kuhn Loeb Bank of New York, the Lehman Brothers Bank of New York, Lazarus Brothers Bank of Paris, Israel Moses Schiff Bank of Italy, and the Goldman Sachs Banks of New York. As I said before, it is not federal, nor is it reserve. It has no reserve. Just creates money out of nothing and charges us an interest on it. And if they want to issue new money, which they just recently did, more bills, they order it from the Treasury Department and they pay 5 cents per bill. That's what it costs for paper and ink. Actually, it's a little less. And they pay 5 cents for a $1 bill, and they pay 5 cents for a $100 bill, and they turn around and issue it to the banks on face value. Boy, what a deal. And then they charge us interest on it, because to get that money, they have to give them Treasury notes to cover it, U.S. Treasury notes, and they draw interest on it. We could wipe out the federal debt almost immediately just by doing away with the Federal Reserve. By 1995, according to Mr. Figge's report, who was on the Grace Commission, he was a co-chairman of the Grace Commission, by 1995, all of our revenue and taxes will be required just to pay the interest on the national debt. No more money. The name of his book is Bankrupt, 1995. I think it was 1997 in my estimation. I still believe 97 is going to be a bad year. It's going to be bad between here and there, but it's really going to come to a focus. So that's the Federal Reserve. And we become the greatest debtor nation in all the world not too long ago. 1945, Henry Ford said, "If the people of the United States really knew the corruption of our money system, there'd be a revolution before morning." Well, the Federal Reserve worked so well in the United States that they thought they have a worldwide Federal Reserve called the International Monetary Fund. Guess who created that? A fellow by the name of Paul Volcker, old tall Paul, 6'4". When he was the Assistant Secretary of State for Monetary Affairs, and he created that. Later became the President of the Federal Reserve of New York, then later became the Chairman of the Board of the Federal Reserve, Washington, D.C. Now he is Chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations. David Rockefeller gave it up, and he's too busy with other things, and let Tall Paul run the CFR. And they loaned it to countries. Now, if you're a country that doesn't need money from the INF, you're doomed. Rhodesia didn't need any money, so they ruined them. Now they're on the dole. And once you're taking the money, what does the bank say? The Bible says, he who owes money is the slave of the one who loaned him the money. Well, the first thing you have to do is to get rid of all your nuclear power plants and promise you'll never make any more, or you don't get any more money. Well, South Africa doesn't need any of the money, so they're going to destroy South Africa. South Korea doesn't need any IMF money, so they're going to destroy South Korea. Taiwan or Free China, they don't need any money, so they're going to destroy them. Every nation, you can go right down the list, that didn't take IMF money has been destroyed so that they can gain control, and then they're on the dole and they control them. That's the whole thing. You got to remember that the idea of this conspiracy is control. Control of everything, even your life. And that's what it's all about. The power, absolutely. The World Conservation Bank, this is a neat one, and you didn't read about it in the paper. James Baker III, when he was Secretary of Treasury, they met, and here was the deal. Doesn't that sound great? The World Conservation Bank. What the deal was, that the Rockefeller-Rothschild banks have loaned so much money to these nations, and the nations can never pay it back because of the interest on the whole thing, and nation compounding interest all the time. So they came up with a deal. What they would do, that this World Conservation Bank would forgive their debt if they would turn over a proper amount of their land to the World Conservation Bank. And guess who owns the World Conservation Bank? Rothschild, Rothschild, Rockefellers, Rothschild. So right now, the Rockefeller Rothschilds own one-third of the Earth's surface. And the one that doesn't belong to them, the government is gobbling up and putting into that. I had seen a long time ago that you can watch these people and you can watch their membership and you can know where to put your money. Because if you wanted to make some money, it may be a little late now, but Weyerhaeuser would be a real good one. Because Weyerhaeuser owns enough lumber in the far in the western part of the United States and Canada that they'll keep functioning. And they'll continue, and they have massive representations in the conspiracy. So the government will never take their lands. I have a sister-in-law who had some money and was very old, and I could kick myself because I wanted to be very conservative, but I put $20,000 of her money into Weyerhaeuser, knowing that, and wouldn't you know that a year after I put it into Weyerhaeuser, they split their stock. In other words, her $20,000 became $40,000. And that's the sort of thing you can do if you just watch them. And because these people know what they're doing, they rig the show. Well, the European community, we pretty well covered that, has 380 million people. I want to tell you something. The Japanese get a bum rap. We talk about the balance of payments, and the Japanese are not buying as much of ours as they are. That is a lie down the line. Do you know the Japanese population is around 105 million, less than half the population of the United States? And per capita, per person, they're buying nearly $40 per person more of our equipment than we're buying of theirs every year. We cannot expect Japan to buy an equal amount when they're half the size, and their whole country's no bigger than California. And it's a lie anyway, because the number one holder of American interest is Britain. The number two great holder is the Royal Dutch Netherlands. Royal Dutch Shell, North American Electronics, that all belongs to, forget the baronet. Anyway, the Queen's husband, Queen Juliana's husband. By the way, did you ever consider the great Japanese Sony? Doesn't that sound Japanese? Aso desu ka, hai. No, stands for Standard Oil of New York. S-O-N-Y. Rothschild, Rockefeller. Do you remember a few years ago when everybody, the Rockefellers are going to crumble because the Japanese Mitsubishi just bought 51% of Rockefeller Center. Well, guess who owns Mitsubishi? You guessed it, Rockefeller. All he was doing was taking the money out of one pocket and putting it in the other pocket. That's all he was doing. Boy, God has everything under control, thank you. Then dear brother Wilbur sent me a book entitled The Committee of 300. I had gotten a little clue of this. I'd seen it, that some of our people were members. And it is the high-level group. They determine what's going to happen, and they pass it down to their foreign affairs group called the Club of Rome, and on down. Now, I'm going to give you something that you just have hard to believe. They decided in the Global 2000 study performed by the Club of Rome and the Stanford Institute that they determined in 1969 that by the year 2000, they would have to destroy 3 billion useless eaters, non-productive eaters. 3 billion with a B as in Bravo. Well, they're pretty well on the channel. Through wars and famine, 40,000 people a day starving to death, on and on. But it wasn't going according to plan. So they had to come up with a good one called AIDS. Well, Dr. Douglas came onto this, and I happened to be present at a Gary North meeting, no relation to Oliver North, in Dallas. Dr. Gary North, an outstanding man, sort of some goofy doctrines. A goofy doctrine, of course, you know, is one that doesn't agree with mine, so he may be right, but either way, I don't see it that way, but we are friends. And this fellow, Dr. Douglas, was telling us how he found out about this. What happened was that there's a bunch of conspirators in the World Health Organization, which gets money from you and I in the National Institutes of Health up at Fort Belvoir, up north of Washington, D.C., up by the mountain where they all go, up by Camp David. There's a big hole back in the mountain. I've been up there to check our records and all that sort of thing in there. They call it the Rock. Have you been to the Rock lately? And so they experimented around, and they took a bovine virus, that's a cow virus, a bovine virus, and modified it to a point that it would be communicable to human beings and no known cure. And then they put it in with the smallpox vaccination and vaccinated the lower part of South of Africa, the sub-Sahara area. And it's estimated now that 40% of the population of Africa is HIV positive, which means 10 years from now, the population of Africa will be half what it is today, or more, because it really snowballs. Children are being born with it, so they'll probably die before their 8th or 9th birthday. And we don't need to go through how he did it, but he published a paper. I had him on tape, but he published a paper. And the name of the paper is Who Murdered Africa? WHO, World Health Organization, Murdered Africa. We know from satellite pictures that there are many villages that used to be large villages that are now growing up in jungle. There's nobody there. They're all dead. And they're just going back to jungle. Well, this group created communism. I won't have time to go through all of that, but they found a dissident fellow over in England called Lenin. And with 500 other mercenaries, they put them on a train with their equipment and crossed 8 different countries without ever being stopped, and went in and overthrew the struggling democracy that was being formed by Mr. Kerensky. He had adopted the United States Constitution and Bill of Rights and was going to have a parliamentary system. I think the parliamentary system has something over what we have in the Senate and whatnot, because you don't end up with, you won't end up with peanut farmers and vacuum-headed generals being the head of the government. At least they have to Lyndon Johnson was probably the best qualified because he had worked all the way up, but his intentions were something horrible. And but he was a part of the CFR. And so they had to overthrow him because they hate democracies. Because with a democracy, you have to buy too many people, you have to influence too many. So they like dictatorships. And if a dictator doesn't do what you want him to do, they just shoot him and get another one. It's very simple. So that's the reason there are only about 7 democracies left on the face of the earth. That even, I don't know that ours is a democracy. By the way, you ought to search the Constitution, the Founding Fathers. You don't find the word democracy in it. We're supposed to be a constitutional republic with the state governments dominating. Man, if we went by the Constitution, our budget would be zilch. What's the federal government supposed to do? Provide international representation, State Department. Provide a common defense, the Defense Department. And control interstate commerce, the Commerce Department. Period. Rest of it's the state's business. Education, not supposed to be in it. Not anything. All of those things are all outside of it. But they want a big government. And if I had time, I could read you what our Founding Fathers said about it, and it's really amazing. And we've lived beyond most democracies. Thomas Jefferson, quite a few, said that they suspected that it was very healthy to have a violent overthrow of the government about every 200 years because they could see that other so-called democracies usually don't last that long. And that's the reason they have to get your guns, because a government that can't trust its people with guns can't be trusted. Because you can overthrow the government. Every country that's ever been taken over the communists, they take their guns away first. By the way, did you notice that the states who have the cities who have the most strict gun laws are the ones that have the highest murder rates? Washington, D.C., New York, and Miami. Because all you do is take the guns away from the honest citizens and leave the criminals with the guns. I liked it down in the mountains where I lived. A bunch of those old mountain boys up there in the Appalachians, they always carry 3 rifles and a shotgun hanging on a rack in the back of their pickup. And their sticker was, "Good gun control requires a firm grip." Well, this car is guarded by a Smith & Wesson and a pit bulldog with AIDS. Or if you're out of a job and hungry, eat an ecologist. Because they're down there in the middle of George Washington National Forest, and that's how they make their living, is cutting woods. Well, they overthrew the government in 1917. There are many books written on that. Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, Warmongers by Howard Katz, National Suicide by Anthony Sutton. And then Anthony Sutton, as I pointed out the other night, that was a scholarly discourse, National Suicide, so he put it in layman's terms and put it out in another book, The Best Enemy Money Can Buy. We keep communism alive, and we're still doing it. And another book, an update, you know, the book that sold 4 million copies, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. Larry Abrams was co-author at that time. He has written a new book entitled Call It Conspiracy. And we could go on and on. The military power of the Soviet Union is stronger than it's ever been. They make 10 new tanks every 24 hours, 3 new jet aircraft every 12 hours or 24 hours, and a new submarine every 6 weeks. What are we doing? We're destroying ours. This is deliberate. And they put 40% of their gross national product into armaments, and they're going to increase their total armaments 20% this year. And they're giving all their obsolete weapons to their allies. They're rearming Nicaragua. Large shipments of weapons are going in there. And did you know that Nicaragua is closer to Houston and Corpus Christi than Houston and Corpus Christi is to Washington, D.C.? They have MiG-23s and that type thing down there. Oliver North was crucified because he blew this whole thing. And by the way, when former Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney was confronted in a news conference with that fact, and it is a fact, he did not deny it. He said, well, we can't expect them to stop right away because it would create massive unemployment. Well, what the heck do you think it did to California? But that's deliberate, is to destroy this nation and bring that one up. to make us another banana republic. Well, there are a whole lot of things we could talk about. Glasnost, well, this is number six, Glasnost. And it's interesting, the head of the Communist Party USA, Gus Hall, said, "The U.S. Communist Party has far more influence now than it ever has because we've created the atmosphere that the Soviet Union is no longer a threat to America." By the way, he also said in 1980, he said for the first time in some 30-odd years, the Communist Party would not run candidates for president. He and Angela Davis always ran president and vice president because they had no conflict with the Democrat Party. And so they would support the Democrat Party and try to get General Comrade Jesse Jackson elected. And so I hope that grabs you Democrats. As I've said before, I don't think anyone who has ever read the Democrat National Platform can be a Christian and vote Democrat. Because the Democrats are for everything God is against, and they're against everything that God is for. And Republicans, not a whole lot better, but at least on paper they look a little better. But they own both sides of the fence. Doesn't make a whole lot of difference. South Africa, well, they got to have that, all of that. The United Nations, that's a conspiracy. 1945, the Rockefellers donated the land, and we, the American taxpayers, built the building. And in their meditation room, they have the Greek god Zeus. And I think that's a very appropriate, if you know your Greek mythology, Zeus was the Greek god that raped his own mother. So that's an appropriate one. And as I mentioned, Jimmy Carter, 5th of October, the Human Rights United, and the Senate approved it the 2nd of April, 1992, and we ceased to be. And then they put out an order that the United Nations Charter is now the, quote, law of the land. Waco and what happened out in to the Weaver family in Idaho are just the beginnings. Intimidation, like the IRS. The FBI is now called the Federal Baby Incinerators. They go down to save the babies and barbecue them. That's what Janet Reno said. And the great Christian Jerry Falwell said they fooled around down there for 55 days and should have killed them all in the first week. After all, they weren't Baptists. Boy, such people. Well, God has everything under control. By the way, the Davidians had been there ever since 1935, and they were an authorized tax-exempt church. And he never said he was God. I have a video of him and what they did as they did to General Westmoreland and others. He was asked, "Did you ever get this 72-year-old woman pregnant and she had a baby?" And he laughed and he said, "A 72-year-old woman and I got her pregnant? You must think I am God." They took everything out and had him say, "I am God." I don't care if he's a nut. We got a lot of nuts in the Christian movement. But he wasn't bothering anybody. And they never found a single gun that was in violation. They weren't charged of anything anyway. And the sheriff of Leland County down there in Waco three times had gone in when he was sheriff because they had said that the children were being abused, and he called up the leadership and they said, "Come on out and have a look." And each time there was absolutely no problem. The kids were way ahead scholastically, and it was just real great. But if they let those people get away with living separate and outside the system, and everybody lived outside the system, the whole system collapses, and that's the whole message. The Weaver family, they killed his 14-year-old son and blew the head off of his wife and the whole thing. And just because he was, and this is a dirty word, he was a white separatist. Separatist means he got fed up with Vietnam and all the stuff and he went to the hills and just wanted to be left alone. White separatist makes him evil. If he'd been a black separatist, it would have probably been all right. I saw a t-shirt the other day that says, "Why be politically correct when you can be right?" Well, the bankers and so forth. And I'm going to end with this. It's very interesting that at the end of World War II, when the Allies represented, it was really cute. At the table, here was Paul Warburg representing the United States. Across the table is his cousin, Alexander Warburg. And they were working out the whole resolution at the end of World War II. Oh, brother. my servant Warburg. Well, very interesting. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Proverbs 17:15, who justifies the wicked, and he who condemns the righteous, both are an abomination unto God. Proverbs 16:9, man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps. What's going to happen to this outfit? Revelation 14:8, and the second messenger, an angel, followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen, the great city. We'll show you on the buying and selling what city is Babylon today. Because she has made all nations drink of her wine and her fornications. Revelation 18:2, another messenger, angel, followed crying mightily, the strong voice saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and it has become the habitation of devils. Remember, they're Satan worshipers. And the hold of every evil spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. All nations, the United Nations, have drank of her fornications, of her wine, and the rulers of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants, money, of the merchants of the earth have become rich through their power and the blood of the martyrs through wars. Did you know that the Rothschilds supported both sides of the Civil War? They didn't care, just so it didn't become a United States. And then the trilaterals, all that. So we can see this group meeting sometime in the near future. And it was around 1997, somewhere in that time frame. And I can see them, and they say, well, no one can buy or sell unless our computer says they're cleared. We have absolute control. We have the one world government, the new world order, and we're in charge. And somebody will jump to his feet and say, did you hear that trumpet? And I don't know it's a literal trumpet, but anyway, they will say, and God the Lord will show up and his saints, and he says, I got a place for you. You can wait over here. It's in the pit. And that'll be the end of that. Well, could be. What do you do? People tell me, well, you got to tell me what to do. I can't tell you what to do. Anybody that tries to tell you what to do doesn't know your mission in life, and you can't. But I can tell you this for cotton picking sure, that there are many, many things, but Toynbee and Tolstoy both said that great historians, they said that great nations follow a pattern. Great civilizations follow a pattern. And this is the pattern. And you'll see it in the Bible of Israel. From bondage or slavery came faith. And from faith comes strength. And from strength comes freedom. And from freedom becomes abundance. And from abundance becomes dependence. And from dependence comes fear. And from fear back to slavery or bondage. You watch it. Is there any question that we're down here, the dependence and fear? Our next step is bondage, is slavery. And I really don't know. We may go into a time of slavery. What do we do? There is hope. I know you've heard it ad nauseum, but it's still valid. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. So we can be saved. So, and I believe the Christian Coalition says we must educate, people must know what's really going on, then we must pray, and then we take action. As Pat Robertson pointed out, we'll always do a lot of praying, but never take any action. And if we do take any action, it's based on absolute ignorance of what we're doing. So you must have knowledge, or you're taken into captivity. You must pray as to what you should do. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. And then, for heaven's sakes, take action. Go out and vote at least. There are many good books around. The one that Wilbur sent me, the Committee of 300, is a detailed study. But here's a new one by Ralph Epperson, the New World Order. And one that ended up on the New York bestseller list, which was amazing. Got up to number 3, Pat Robertson's book, The New World Order. And then if you like it into a novel form, read Larry Burkett's The Illuminati. He even goes on to carry it into what it's going to be like. under this conspiracy type operation. Well, there are many good periodicals you can read, and by the way, there's one of these charts out there, looks like this. I want every one of you to pick up one. It's free, but if you want another one, it's 25 cents. And it shows you who the news media are, the news media over here, who they are, CFR and Trilaterals, and then the industry, and then the ambassadors and the labor unions and the central government up here, and the military, and on down as to who.